Blog Talk Radio.
WAMRDB on 1420 and 1430 AM. We are a multicultural station bringing you national exposure on WAMRDB and WATB 1420 Atlanta. Me, I'm the next level, and I'll be hosting a show on Tuesday nights from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So tune in and get educated, elevated, and stimulated.
Everybody, I got Next Level on. Mario, Are you with me tonight, Mario?
I'm here. I'm definitely here.
Well, I tell you, I had to call my brother. I said, Lord, he's gonna have a lot of overtime coming up too. Well, man, this is some amazing stuff going on with the GOP. I mean,
yeah.
When I talked to you earlier, I guess I'm glad you had to clarify some things for me. But we're talking about
right.
Atlanta Mix Radio, WMRDV, broadcasting live out of Atlanta, Georgia, on Thursday evening. You guys can call in at 516-387-1251, or you can just pay attention to us on Facebook as well and Twitter. So, next, this thing that freaked me out, that just had me just up in air.
Right.
We're talking about the GOP. The GOP
right.
and the 62 agencies that are listed
mm-hmm.
to be a part of the proposed budget. It takes a cleaver to domestic programs, with many agencies taking a percentage of the spending cuts in double digits. And some of them are gone all the way. The smaller agency programs are going to be cut 100%. One of the things that we've been talking about is community development block grants, the weatherization. These are programs for elderly and poor people. The low-income home energy assistance program, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, all would be axed if Congress adopts Trump's budget. This is huge. Just those few right there. But you said this bill
right.
is called what now?
I think you're being a little modest when you said. You're being a little modest when you said meat cleaver. It's more like a guillotine to these programs. It's called the America First program. It's called the America First bill. I don't know why they call it America First, because it's, but you know, that's what he ran on and everything like that. So what they're doing, these are proposals that they want, that they're presenting, and they want to start moving them forward for their approval. But the speaker, the gentleman that was in charge, is very clear about certain programs, like anything involving the all the initiatives for clean air and all of that. They're talking about putting an axe to that, definitely. You know what I mean? They won't pull a plug on that. Public access TV,
wow.
public broadcasting, yeah. They say they don't feel a need for that. And all these other programs are pretty much kind of like undermining. And the big emphasis is on, what is it, about $54 million, I think, if not more, for military. But that means that also that now, the scary thing about that is they got to find a war to fight now, because then he can put all his contractor buddies to work.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Think about it.
Wow. you got to find somebody to go to war with, or go to war with the American public. But so the thing that I'm seeing that's clear is more than 50 agencies being eliminated.
$4 million.
In the,
mm-hmm. Oh, you're talking about the programs. Sector. Yeah, the programs have been axed.
You're looking at anything that has something to do with water or infrastructure, water infrastructure.
Yeah,
that's $498
mm-hmm.
million dollars. And rural communities can be served by the private sector, finance, and other federal investments in water infrastructure. So basically, that's the water that's going on, the fight that's going on in Michigan. That's gone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's gone. So that's one of them. Then the McGovern Dole International School for Education program. Trump says the program is a sort of third world school lunch project He said it lacks evidence that it's being effectively implemented to reduce food insecurity. So we're not going to try to help feed the rest of the world. We're not going to try to feed anybody else. And this is the biggest thing. That was the Department of Agriculture. And I'm going to tell you what that is. And I'm not trying to be funny, but remember Senator Zachary Chambliss? He was over as a senior, sitting Republican over the Department of Agriculture. Now we have a freshman that's taking us into a category with the fact that we do have a freshman Republican with, you know, hasn't got up the food chain yet. So that's important when it comes to the state of Georgia. But what I also want to talk about is the $221 million Obama's 27 budget touted the agency that only federal government agency within a mission would be a part of this particular program, and now that's being chopped. That is the Economic Development Administration. All right? It's almost like he's going after programs that President Obama had geared out, etched out. That was another one. I think that was a part of his campaign promise too, right?
Yeah, with that program, that particular program, I guess there was going to be some regulations toward the auto industry and coal. So he's saying that if they can eliminate these particular restraints on the economy, on these particular programs, it supposedly will save like something like a million plus jobs for the auto industry workers and different things like that. But we can already see what's happening to the air. I mean, this year is crazy as far as the weather goes, and all of this can go back to global warming, you know. And so those programs were put in place in order to try to rectify this over the course of time. Now, they get in here and they pull the plug on there, and another couple of years in, they'll tell them what the weather's going to be like. And so there's no regard for really the future at all. Everything, you know, it just seems like this is like, okay, we got 4 years, let's just rip this whole thing apart, get our hands in here, get as much money as we can, and just leave this place. And just leave it, you know, and just whatever's left, hey, that'll be good because we'll be gone by then. I'm basically trying to really destroy the infrastructure of the United States right now.
Well, they went in and took Minority Business Development Agency. The White House has said that the Minority Business Incubator Program is a duplicate of other programs within the Small Business Administration. That right there is I can tell you $32 million for the MBDA is huge in the southern states that do not have affirmative action programs like the city of Atlanta. This is how I know for a fact that contractors and minorities in Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama. This is the type of program that helps them compete across the board, Mario. So this is some of these programs now. That's only $32 million. That's like a drop in the bucket, right?
Right.
But if you said that he mentioned something about being more sensitive to minority-owned businesses. So what is this?
Well, I mean, you know, Ben Carson, I guess if you want to consider him black, he put him over urban housing. I mean, you know, the one person that had, the only black person that got a job so far was over over HUD. And, I mean, so he just stood by and watched this whole thing just be snatched out. And you haven't even heard of, I mean, I don't even know what his whole thing is. He hasn't said nothing. He's just been silent since he got his little job. And he went in and he had all these black pastors come in here and say they were supporting him because he was going to do this. He was going to promote entrepreneurship. But how can you promote entrepreneurship when you know that these programs were put in a specialized area to promote entrepreneurship? Because the thing about entrepreneurship, and you can agree with me here, okay, if it's a black-owned business, but once they come into business, they are also contributing to the economy. They got to buy products from different vendors that aren't black. That, you know what I mean? In order to sustain the business,
right.
In order to grow the business. So they are making a contribution, but they have to have some type of situation that allows them to get started. So, I mean, it was just pretty much a snow job to me. I could see it coming.
And you know what? That when I say about this other program, you really hit it on the money right here, because there is a program called the CBG Block Grant. So the Community Development Block Grant program has been the bread and butter funding source for communities for 42 years, totaling $150 billion in grants over its history. And he says the program is not well targeted to the poorest population and has not demonstrated results. So that's a part of HUD. CBG Block Grant is, again, money that comes for the HUD program. So that's $3 billion. Then there's another $35 million. This is a part of HUD, the Section 4 Capacity Building for Community Development and Affordable Housing. That's a part of HUD. So you're looking at $3.5 billion or more in just the head of the HUD program. Because HUD leads a lot of these initiatives. So what does that speak about these so-called pastors coming in and not having any say-so about anything?
Where's all this money going that they're saving? Because he's talking about the other thing, his the Great Wall he wants to build. He wants the taxpayers to pay for that, and then Mexico is supposed to reimburse us. Now, if you're taking all this money from these different programs, why can't you pay for your wall?
I got an answer.
Okay, you got Marlene on the line. Here we go.
Well, first of all, let's just talk about the wall. I saw in this article where they're going to raise fees on airline tickets through the TSA to pay for the wall. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the wall, I don't think the building the wall is so expensive. I think it's the manning the wall that's going to be so expensive, the labor hours of protecting the wall and processing people that try to come over the wall and that kind of thing. So I think the biggest expense for the wall is not so much the wall as it is just the expense of protecting the borders with the manpower and the processing hours it's going to take. Okay, so let's talk about this budget, because, I mean, the budget's pretty striking. First of all, it's the first budget we've had in 7 years. So let's just acknowledge that. At least we got one. There's several things in here I have to agree with him 100% about. For instance, case in point, the watershed program, the rural water departments get federal money, but they also charge for water. In case, if you live in the county, for instance, depending on where you live, rather than a city, you're getting water through a reservoir or a well. If you're not getting a well, you're getting it through a reservoir, and you're paying for that water. So why do you need to supplement a watershed also with federal dollars? I completely agree with him on that. So
yeah, me too.
That's a valid point. The second one I'll agree with him on is the international food education program. I mean, I just don't see the ability to measure proof that it's successful more than anything. How do you measure that third world countries don't, you know, that food insecurities can be overcome? How do you measure that? You can't measure that. So I think that was probably a wise choice. I look at the Department of Commerce. Well, since that's my area of expertise, I agree 100% with him on that one. There's no way to measure proof of impact on economic development in a federal positioning. It sounds good that the feds would put money into helping business move back and forth, but if business is making a profit, they shouldn't need supplemental money from the federal government. They should be able to pay their own expense to move from Charleston to L.A. or from L.A. to Houston or whatever. The federal government shouldn't be getting involved in that. I completely agree there.
Right.
So I like the idea of getting rid of that. I do not like necessarily getting rid of the Minority Business Development Agency. But I do agree that the incubator program is not a valid program because counties and cities have incubators now. So the federal government has no need to be supplementing grants with that. I do like the Minority Business Development Agency. I think it does have effectiveness, and it does help in the SBA, but I do not necessarily think that it needs to be doing incubator programs, because I'll tell you who really winds up walking away with the most money of incubator programs. It's pharmaceutical companies. And like those jokers need another dollar. I mean, really? They're cleaning up on us through insurance companies and medication, hospitals. I mean, the insurance companies own the hospitals. So, and they own the doctors, and they own the medical system. So why are we supplementing them? That makes no sense. Okay, any kind of education system, I can't stand to cut that. I don't care what it is. I'm sorry. But I will agree that it's hard to measure proof of success or lack of success, especially Pell Grants. I can't stand seeing that go. But I also can see where maybe it's best we scratch some of this stuff and let it come back reinvented in a more efficient way. So I can kind of go along with that. I do not care for the Teacher Quality Partnership Program. I've been a member of that. And National Teaching Certification doesn't mean diddly. I mean, it does nothing. It's a joke. And I'm a teacher, and I'm telling you it's a joke. I mean, you know, in order to be a national certified teacher, you have to show up for these, like, classes, and you have to go through higher-level education pomp and circumstance. That's all it is. And it doesn't make you a better teacher. It sure as heck doesn't make you a worse teacher. So I'm sorry, I can't go along with that. I don't like any kind of educational cut. I already said. Okay, Department of Energy. I kind of have to agree with him on this. I know that's a tough one, isn't it? Any kind of energy. Department of Energy, $382 million cut for alternative energy research. And let me explain to you why. I lobbied in Arkansas for solar. And 4 years ago, 2 years ago, I don't remember, 2 or 4 years ago. And solar is a great product, but the problem is you can't really license sunlight. So it's hard to get legislatures and senates to go along with writing bills to help solar. Wind, you can measure. And so wind was getting all of the money, and it made it sound like it was going for solar and other renewable energies, but it wasn't. And so I'm kind of glad to see it go, because wind is kind of taken off now. It's got its own deal going on. And they don't need any more money.
Let me echo on that.
Okay.
I remember distinctively out in California that when they did the, and I think I see where you're going from. I forgot it was, I'm not going to mention any names, but it was somebody's pet project. It was somebody's pet project, and it was all solar farms, and it took almost like, I don't know, $40 million after they built everything.
It took more than that, $385
million. and it never got off the ground.
And to this day, nobody knows where that money went, supposedly.
So the issue, it seems to me, like, you know, I think we got, I think there's two issues that are being missing too. It's like accountability for the individuals who
exactly.
were over these programs who misappropriated the funds. They need to be prosecuted.
Held accountable.
They're getting a
pass.
Yes,
they do.
Right.
Right.
They're getting a pass. And the other thing is, if you take this money, where is it going? What are you going to use this money that you've taken?
Well, I'll tell you.
What are you
going
to do with it to improve?
You want me to tell you where it's going?
Yes.
The military has been our best source of new technology for renewable energy. And so when our previous budgets have been being cut to the military, that's one of the areas the military felt like they could afford to take the cuts on, because they had to produce, you know, guns or butter, basically. I hate to take that argument, but it's reality. So the military will go back to taking up technology of renewable energy, and I'm glad they are. That's where it belongs, really, because you could study renewable energy till the cows come home and probably never really walk away with a fistful of, you know, solidified answers. And it's an ongoing something that needs to be studied. I would say the same thing about the space program. You know, if you've got your space program part of your military program, then you're killing two birds with one stone, and those guys are already on the payroll. So what difference does it make? You're already paying for the military. So if they're doing space and they're doing weather and they're already on the payroll, you're getting three birds with one stone. So I can see that argument of why he's done that. I know for a fact that the salt fuel that's coming out, the military was the ones that designed that. And now Tesla and Warren Buffett are creating electric cars with salt fuel batteries in it. But the military has been flying F-16s of salt fuel for like the last 8.5 years. And that's where, to some degree, I think it should have stayed. I think renewable energy should have stayed in that facility, personally, in that structure. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you believe that with this money going into the military, that now this is an incentive to put boots back on the ground and find the war now to fight?
I disagree with that. I really don't believe. I could be wrong, but I really do not. And I know a lot of three-star and four-star generals, and Karima can validate this. I know them personally very, very well. And I promise you, they are not warmongers. They do not like war. They want
No, I'm not talking about the general. Yeah, because
I know that, but
they're
I
out there.
They're
out there on the front line. They're out there on the front lines. But I'm talking about the politicians who never put
not.
A boot on in their life. You know.
Yeah, I agree
about,
with you there.
Okay.
But they're stupid.
Yeah.
Anybody that wants war is literally insane, because you can't. It's just so devastational. You know, I mean, you can't
justify. It's murder.
War.
It's murder. It's murder.
It is
murder. It's
murder. So,
but
if you have to have a military to stop the murder, that's one thing. But if you have a military that's creating murder, that's a whole other thing. So, go ahead.
I think.
Well, I was thinking, like in the last war, there was several high-level contractors that were associated with the, with the White House and with different things like that. Because also when war happens, people get contracts. And a lot of times it's not – yeah, they're creating – this war is not really a war for the sake of being a war. It's a war so these contractors can get paid, because they got to provide this. They have to provide that. And that's what I was looking at, this whole thing being started up as a situation to be able to put some more money in people's pockets.
I think that's a valid argument. However, I will say that, number one, you know, the vice president does no longer have such a strong attachment to that kind of setting. Number two, the beating up, so to speak, of those companies got pretty good in the last 8 years. I got to give that to the past administration. And number three, we have a full volunteer army. When you have a full volunteer army, if you don't have enough boots in the army, you got to contract stuff out. And if we go back to putting money into our military and putting it into man supply, so to speak, then you can eliminate having contracts. I think the contract military thing, if you think about it, it came around really good during the Bush administration. It wasn't really in existence prior to that. So I don't see this administration having a strong desire to go to contract military labor. I don't see that happening. I think that I have to give it to this guy. I think he seriously does. I mean, I could be wrong, but I really believe he seriously does have place a value on human life. I really do think he does. And I think his cabinet seems to. And I think they want to go peacefully if possible. But I think they're wise also in realizing that there are people that don't want to do things peacefully on this earth. And you got to be prepared and ready when those fools stick their head up. And you got to protect your people. You've got to protect your nation against those very people that do that want war, that want murder, that do not have place any kind of value.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Let's give them a chance on that level, because I'll tell you right now, in 2 years, if they're doing what we're talking about, I'll be screaming louder than anybody, and I got a big mouth. So I think Karima will agree with that, too, won't you?
I will. You know, this is the thing. Now, we got to the part that really hits home for me is the weatherization assistance program. This program now, it helps homeowners make their homes more energy efficient with grants up to $6,500. Now, I don't see that. Now, that weatherization.
Well, let me tell you the problem
also,
with that.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you the problem with that program. Let me finish.
Okay.
The weatherization program also was a part of workforce development programs that put people from welfare to work back on the streets to working. And being on the
but that was
thing,
never
that
proven.
Was,
it was supposed to be,
no,
Karima, but workforce
I,
development.
I was part of that. I realize that, but
workforce development is managed by a bunch of college presidents. That's who manages workforce development money. And then the weatherization assistance program is managed by your local power and light company. Now, you tell me, is the average Joe getting those grants? No. Those grants are going to their high-polluting protected buddies. And just like workforce development, you might get lucky and get 10 guys in there that really are transitioning into a trade, but 9 times out of 10, they're holding that money for their own pet project. It's their 5 seconds of college.
This is for homeowners. This is for homeowners.
I know that.
I lived up north. This is for homeowners.
But you've got
to go and get grants. But you got to know
how to jump through the hoops to get the grant. And there ain't nobody going to help you do that. Nobody, especially the power and light company. They're not going to cut their nose off to spite their face. They don't care if your windows are efficient or not, because you're going to use less power, and that cuts off their budget.
Right.
Now,
so they put it in their hands so they can have control over it.
But it's our money. It's our money.
Right.
And let me say this about all utility companies. Think about it. Where is all new development built? It's always built where the utility companies decide to go build it. And it's part of the colonization program where your local county council and your local city council, they send their old crow buddies out to go buy the land to sell it back to the city and the county at 3 times higher rate. And guess what? That politician gets a little kickback. Of course, you don't know that. I don't know that. But that's how it works.
All of this stuff,
I can agree 100% with them, because I'm in this mess every day.
And it's very hard, very hard to stay non-cynical. Because I see these old buzzards do it. I do. I see it every day. And I'll tell you, it's kind of funny. There's very few women ever in those mixes, number one. And very few minorities in those mixes. Any place where there's a lot of money, it's always protected by the good old white boy. And I don't care if you like what I'm saying or not. It's the truth. So kiss my hand. It is
the truth.
You know I'm right.
It is the truth.
Okay, let's move on. Advanced Technology Vehicle Manufacturing Program. Now, this helps finance fuel-efficient vehicle research. The private sector is in a position to finance disruptive energy research and development, according to this.
Have you seen the quarterlies recently on GM, Ford, and those other companies? They're not hurt. They don't need our money.
They're not.
No, they're making plenty of money. Don't help them fools. Look, this money can be used in so many different places. Yes, manufacturing, car, auto manufacturing. And we're going to salt fuel cars, salt fuel lithium battery. That's what all cars are going to be. I'll tell you another little ditty that you might not be aware of, but I'll tell you it's coming. In the very near future, you're not going to be able to pull into a gas station and get gasoline. You will have to call a tanker truck that will deliver you petrol. And when they get there, they'll also service your car and oil, change the oil and all that. And the reason is because too many of our tanks are leaching petroline into our water table system, and they're killing our water.
Well, I mean, but he's cutting the EPA, so we're not going to have a way to measure that.
But the EPA, if they'd been doing their job and fining these guys like they should have been, and they're not, because they keep selling these stores to international people that don't really have the money to pay the fines anyway. There's not any streamlined, real logical approach to how this is working. And actually, I'll tell you where the EPA is making their money. They're going out into mining companies that mine limestone and quarries and places like that. And I mean, they are making these guys miserable. And they're not.
They're not doing the most obvious.
Oklahoma and Kansas. I mean, they're making them crazy.
Yeah, I got.
Instead of going after these little efficiency stores, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where the kickback comes in at. All right,
exactly.
All right.
It's all about the kickback.
Everybody's
got their hand in something.
And that's why I work in this business every day. I work in government every day. I see every one of these programs every day. I could give you direct names of people that are taking these kickbacks, and you'd never know.
Let's move on now. State Energy Program, this gives grants to states to help them work on energy efficiency and anti-climate change programs. Now,
Back to the utility companies. It's not hard to draw all these lines. They're very easy to see. If you just look, you know. Look at that Department of Interior abandoned mine land grant. Let me give you an example of one right now. I'll tell you of one right here in Arkansas. The poorest county in the state of Arkansas is Phillips County. It's in the Delta. It's Helena, West Helena, that region. The Walton Family Foundation has promised $40 million to be filtered into that community between now and 2020. They have the largest limestone deposit south of Illinois in the world, from Illinois south to Texas. We need a 32-mile rail spur to make limestone to be hauled out in rail cars, where it could be – limestone is in everything. There's food-grade limestone. There's limestone used lime that's used to put in graves to help, decompose
faster. Right?
Yeah.
Lime is in concrete. Lime is in everything.
Everything. And so
we need more accessibility to limestone. There's a quarry in eastern Arkansas that would be part of this 32-mile rail spur that could help facilitate getting more limestone to the marketplace so much faster. There is a $500 billion railroad refinance plan that was put into place in the Reagan administration. $500 billion.
Yeah, I mean, you told me about that. And they,
only
and
$6 million has been spent.
Yeah.
And the railroad
does
not want to. Yeah. All of this crap, every single bit of this is about you line my pocket and I might line yours later. And I'm glad to
you
see
know,
this stuff go.
Yeah, because you know how much money that, how much interest has been gained off that since the $500 million, how much interest they've...
You are not kidding. And here's the worst part. That quarry I'm telling you about, it's part of a bankruptcy. The bank is holding that quarry. They don't want to let that go. It's part of their assets. So, I mean,
right.
There's so many ways to draw the lines to the corruption, cronyism, through this stuff. I really was kind of glad to see the stuff I saw on this plan because of the fact it's going to force these guys to at least try a little harder, try a little bit better at managing how they're going to get federal income. And I'm glad.
I'm glad.
Make them work.
Okay. Let's do this. I want to take a minute, pay a couple commercial bills. Can y'all give me about 15 more minutes, and I'll let y'all go.
All righty. I'm in.
I got a question. Welcome to Loving Care Family Chiropractic, a state-of-the-art chiropractic family facility for the entire family, owned and operated by Dr. Ebony Hornbuckle Preston. Allow her to love your spine so you can get back to enjoying your life. Through the touch of her hands, your pain will flee, giving you the freedom to enjoy your best life. Her concern is not just your spinal health, but your total health. She will show you natural and holistic remedies that can alleviate many injuries and various types of pain. Work with her and you'll feel stronger and healthier after every visit as you begin to enjoy the new you. Make your appointment today. They're located at 5336 East Mountain Street, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 30083, or call at 678-884-3778. We're also available on the web at www.lovingcarechiropractic.com. We are Loving Care Family Chiropractic. Let us love your spine.
Tacos of cheese and a large soda. That's $10,012. Please drive around.
$10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In a little
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to WAMRDB. WAMRDB, we're broadcasting live here out of Stone Mountain, Georgia. You can call in at 516-387-1251. I am speaking with our professional lobbyist, Ms. Marlene Dow, and our executive producer, Mr. Mario Coleman. We're talking about the 62 agencies. We're chopping it up. We're chopping it up. Change is coming. Now we got positive. We got a positive. And we got a negative. We got a bunch of things going on, but change is coming. And I want to get into Mario. I apologize for cutting you off. I heard you say something, and I hit the love and care chiropractic thing right away.
It's okay.
Got to get that. Okay. So we're back. We're back. We were talking about.
It was just one thing that, because Marlene, you're familiar with Arkansas, correct?
Yes, sir.
Do they? Okay. So I used to be in, I used to work for this insurance company. Now I'm not going to say the name. But anyway, I was an adjuster for this particular insurance company during Katrina. Now, you know, they had these trailers that were going out to these families and some of them couldn't get it. Now, do they still have those 11? Do they still have that airstrip that's housing those 11,000 poor family trailers there?
I believe they do, Mario. Yes, I believe they do. I haven't seen them, but I know I've heard people talk about them, so I believe they are still here. One more thing, Mario. When we were talking about workforce development, do you know what was in place before we did workforce development?
No. What was it?
Vocational education.
Joint apprenticeship training. Yeah, vocational training.
Now, you
that's
tell
how,
me, Mario, based out. On what – Yeah, based on what you do, which one's been more successful, workforce development or vocational education?
That's I would have to say, pretty much workforce development. Yeah, because
Workforce development has just been, because you actually can certify, you actually certify people in jobs. Workforce development is just about spreading the dollars. You can't see certification programs in workforce development. You can't actually measure workforce development success. But you can tell graduates from bricklaying masonry school.
Oh, yeah,
and
the numbers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying.
Because we actually
ran
a program that we help young black, we help youth actually move into these particular programs and get jobs from those particular programs. We took young individuals off the street and actually put them in apprenticeship programs. Oh, yeah.
And think about what's the most biggest deficit we have in our society today, middle class. And what jobs are middle class? It's masonry, plumbing, electrician, hairdressers, barbers, estheticians, nails, dental hygiene, dental assistants, all of the nursing assistants. And think about it. That's how you rebuild a middle class is with vocational education. And workforce development, we can't get numbers to validate those jobs. So we have to go back to vocational education to build the middle class.
This is what I'm talking about because I can shout about it because I am a workforce development graduate. Me and my sister, that's where we came from. We came out of the Joint Apprenticeship Training Program. That's what put us where we are 30 years later.
You mean vocational education? You didn't get it through workforce development.
Vocation.
You got it through vocational education.
Because we went through,
and
we
think
went
about
through
it.
The whole apprenticeship training, and that's how we knew how to do everything because we understood that part.
And think about it. Those jobs pay anywhere from $25 to $40 an hour. That is that's middle class, not $10 to $15 an hour. That's low middle class. And with workforce development, this is the part that makes me so mad about workforce development. Let's just use for an example. Let's say I've got a new business, a distribution business, and I'm looking for a place to come, and I'm going to come to Stone Mountain. I'm just using that as an example. And let's say you've got an empty building sitting in an industrial park that the city is going to give me a really good rate right. to go in there and do what's called a pick, pack, and ship. A pick, pack distribution center, pick, pack, and ship distribution center would be like a Best Buy or even Amazon or one of those. In order to facilitate a workforce for a pick, pack, and ship, that community has to be reading on an average eighth grade reading level. Now, you're saying to yourself,
that's, right.
that's not too bad. But the average newspaper is written on eighth grade reading level. How many people do you know in your community read that newspaper every day and comprehend it? Not many, I promise you. And worse than that, those jobs are going to pay anywhere from $8.50 to $15 an hour. Now, if you're going to build your middle class, who would you rather have 800 employees of? Electricians, plumbers, masons, hairstylists, barbers, or pick, pack, and ship who can't even read at eighth grade level? That's a no-brainer. Because when your workforce is making $25 an hour as opposed to $10 an hour, the very first thing they do is they upgrade their vehicle. They upgrade their home. They upgrade their disposable quality of clothes for their children. They buy more groceries. That money is immediately spent right in the immediate community. And so when you have the workforce development.
Marlene, let me
just say this. You should have ran for president. Because, see, your agenda is very clear. But in President Trump's behalf, his agenda is not clear. And the display of how he promotes certain things are not as delightful as you are leaving it. You know what I mean?
He's like a used car salesman. He just speaks in broad terms. This is going to be great. This is going to be wonderful.
But now let me say this in his defense. I'm not a Trump fan. I mean, I'm not a not Trump fan, but I'm not a Trump fan. The bottom line is this. Think about who really still runs the money, the biggest money pots of this country. Who's running it?
The old white man.
All right. And the old white man is who Trump is trying to talk to because he needs them in the game. You take somebody like me who's been doing this since I was 22 years old as a venture capitalist, and when Reagan started the Department of Commerce, that was the first pot of federal money we saw go into communities. And so who runs the Chamber of Commerce? Who's your Chamber of Commerce directors, especially back then? Who was it?
Ex-bankers, presidents of banks.
Old white men.
All old white men. Now, who runs chambers today, and who's running your economic development group?
Old white men.
Same people.
Old white men.
And younger now.
Chambers are being run by women. Chambers are being run by women, but old white men are who run economic development. And that is why we have, I mean, that's why Trump is unintentionally, he doesn't mean to, but he's trying to speak to the base that he has to have to get them to engage. And
in Atlanta, I think that's what I hear now, in Atlanta, they have engaged. That's why you have so much development. Let me say on this. The Department of Housing and Urban Development. Now I don't have nothing to say about that because you know how they did us. So the community block grant development money, $3 billion. Now this program is 42 years old, $150 billion in grants over history, but the program is not well targeted for its population. And I have to agree. I've got to agree on it because when you can take CDG block grant money and build a port at the Port Authority down in Gulfport, an island out there with CDG block grant money, you're right.
I agree
for the port. They took
the
land.
I completely agree.
So,
Karima, we're back to who runs the pots of money. We're back to who runs the pots of money. All old white men. And this is what upsets me. Look, if you're going to march, and I'm not saying you should not march. I'm saying if you're going to march, have a clear message. Don't just go up there and waste paper and take up resources just because you're going to show up and bitch. Nobody cares. Have a message. Have a clear agenda about what you want to see. Put out measurements of how what you're going to look for these
right.
to hold people accountable. Don't just start mm-hmm. bellyaching because you can gripe. Give it measurable assessments, incoming assessments and outgoing assessments. This is what we see going in. This is what we expect you coming out. This is what our
and that's what
meeting
business
sees
is all about.
In 2 years.
That is what
exactly.
business is all about. Business
that's
is all
why
about
I don't mind
misery,
it.
Profit or loss. It's either one
exactly.
or the other. And I'll leave that alone.
And since
here we go. Section four capacity building. For community
well,
development
but we haven't had a budget for 7 years. We had to start somewhere. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
We haven't had even this baseline in 7 years. We had to start
Why?
Somewhere. Because
Why
President Obama
it?
Didn't want to submit a budget, and he didn't.
No. I
well, Congress wouldn't. The House wouldn't. Everything he submitted, though, the House went. The House shot it down. Now you can't
say
that
there
wasn't.
I can agree with that.
There you go.
Let's just
yeah.
say there wasn't one. I can't really blame him,
mm-hmm.
but let's just say we haven't had
right.
one for 7 years.
Right.
And this
we
is
had
the start,
a
Mario.
Yep.
Well,
mm-hmm. yeah,
we did the first year. I agree with that. But the 2 years after, mm-hmm. I mean, he, and I know, I'll be honest with you, I can't say I would have been any different. He tried 2 years to put through budgets after that, and he finally just said, piss on it. I'm not doing a budget. And I can't blame
well,
him.
Well, he tried to send money to some of these impoverished states, and the Republican
right.
states turned the money down. So
right.
he was trying
right.
to, yeah, he was trying, yeah, that was a fact. I remember I was living in Mobile, Alabama, and these Republican governors, they said they weren't going to take the money. You know,
right.
so he actually tried because, it just goes back to the good old boys, like, yo, we don't want this guy in here, so we're going to do, we'll let America burn to the ground before we let him be successful because
oh,
it never was about
bad.
The country. It was about, yeah, it was.
It
was. I mean, let's just say you're halfway right. Let's say you're halfway right.
Let's just say.
Well,
where am I halfway wrong at? Explain to me where I'm halfway wrong at.
Well, because
that's
I can't put a name. With that person that you're telling me about. If you could give me a name, then I would. You know, but
the whole Republican
more than
Party.
One person. Huh?
The whole Republican
really?
House, the House in general.
The House.
The House.
But
the Senate
who signs the checks. The Senate,
well, the Senate
signs, who signs the checks, Mario.
The Senate,
House puts
right.
out the budget, and the Senate signs the checks.
Okay, so who works in the House and who works in the Senate? We back to the old white men again.
Well, no, that's changing, though. The Senate is getting, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm replying to a text. The Senate is getting more and more women in it than the House, okay? But
yeah,
we
but,
like that
but
because the
there,
Senate holds
there,
seats
there,
for right? 6 years.
Right.
The Senate
I
holds
yeah, this
seats
is
for
happening.
6 years.
Mm-hmm. If they're Republican women, they're going to do what their men folks tell them.
No, 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 no.
Yeah.
No. Not the Republican women I know.
Well, we haven't heard, out of all of those women that are in there right now, I haven't heard, do you know anyone who has came directly out and spoke against anything, has said anything derogatory about some of the things that Trump has done? They
oh,
still
yeah.
fall
Mary
in line.
Mary Fallon of Oklahoma, she's throwed up some walls of arguments. I can think of several of them that have not just climbed on board easily. And I can't blame them.
Okay,
they've
now,
got
on,
a lot
on,
to protect,
hold on,
too.
Guys. Hold on. Let me do this. I got to stay on task. I promise people this. The
sure.
Department of Justice. Now, I want to go back to what y'all said about the wall. Now, state criminal alien assistance program is $210 million. Four states receive the bulk of the funding from this program, which reimburses states for the cost of incarcerating criminal immigrants. Now, we're back to that part. We're back to that part. Mario, this falls right by you.
Right. Jail is business. All these prisons are built.
It sure is, Mario. You're 100% correct.
With a promise of at least a 90% occupancy rate. So this all falls in line. You know, they need criminals. They need people going to jail.
They're
going to
make criminals out of people that are not criminals. They've got to have the customers. And they're going to make criminals out of criminals.
They're cutting 200.
Yeah, because that means they'll go to jail quicker. Because they don't have no representation.
So many states have gone to private jails. And if you cut this, trust me, the private jails will shut down and go away. And counties and cities will have to go back to rehabilitating criminals. Problem is, private jails have no interest in rehabilitating anybody. It's all about profit and loss. Public prisons and jails have to rehabilitate criminals. So this is what we want. We want to cut this money so that they cannot be making criminals out of people just trying to live and survive. It'll force counties and states to get back on it.
But they say that they're supposed to, but then they're using them because there's several major corporations that uses prison labor to save
counties
money.
Counties and cities use prison labor.
Well,
you better
major corporations,
Columbus,
everybody from Verizon, Sprint, Walmart, all of them use it.
But the reason they do it, though, guys, is because so many of your prisoners also owe child support. A lot of, matter of fact, I'd go as far as say 25% of people who are in jail for non-payment of child support. At least this way child support gets dispersed. That's part of the point there.
They save a lot of money, too, though.
They do. It costs a lot of money. It does. I'll be the first to admit that. But if it's it's at the end of the day, Mario, tell me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. You ain't never going to get to the profit side in any kind of public anything. You're never going to have a profit. You're just trying to make it wash where you can. You're not going to make money. It's not anytime you deal in human life, it's a non-for-profit business. You can forget it. You're never going to make money. So, but there is a way to try to keep from losing your shirt every day, too. And I kind of that's how I see these budget cuts. It's not that I like them because I don't. Some of them, for sure. But I do see it forcing some of these agencies that have been on the present, on the dole and getting that steady Eddie check, having to reinvent themselves and become more efficient and actually produce or shut up and get out of the way. And that's the problem we have, especially in commerce.
Okay, well, here we go. This is gonna mess with the good old boy. How about this? National Wildlife Refuge Fund, $480 million to maintain the Fish and Wildlife Services of 563 wildlife refugees throughout the country.
Yeah.
That's what do you think about that now?
Well, it's funny to me, the damn wildlife was living fine before they were getting their $480 million. I mean,
all right, let's get to the group. Senior Community Service Employment Program. This is the Senior Community Service Employment Program. This is a job training program for low-income people, 55 and older, that the White House says is ineffective. Now, tell me how that becomes, you know.
Well, I'll tell you first of all. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm 60 years old. I'm very highly educated. If I went out here and tried to get a job, I'm too old to get a job in the mainstream, and I'm too young to get retirement. So a lot of people, 55 to 65, wind up on disability just to survive. Disability has become kind of a glorified welfare program where you can keep your house is basically what it comes down to. So I can agree where you'd have a hard time proving the validation of the success of this group because by the time you're 55 years old, you've probably got a career of some kind. Even if you're a criminal, you're a career criminal by the time you're 55 years old. So re-educating somebody 55 years old is kind of a difficult thing to label, let alone measure.
Well, they took out OSHA. That's $11 million. I ain't got nothing to say about that. Now,
yeah, I mean,
if you get into Yeah, Department of State, the U.S. Agency, International Development. That's all climate control. $1.3 billion was Obama's administration proposal to support Paris Climate Agreement. I don't know what that's for. The $250 million Green Climate Fund. Now these are all jobs, you guys. This is what I'm saying. These are jobs that people have. Emergency refugee litigation.
That's a valid argument. These are jobs. You're right.
These are jobs.
These are jobs.
These are jobs.
Yes.
But they're bureaucrat jobs.
And the biggest problem in D.C. is the bureaucrats, because they're not people that get elected, so they don't actually have to go back to their town hall meetings and answer to anybody. And they're not people actually doing literal assistance to the elected officials. These are guys that find a gravy train gig and ride it till the cows come home. And they succeed. These are bureaucrats. And bureaucrats are, they're kind of a, they're a double-edged sword, because they know how to beat the process and the system to get the system to work for them.
But or check the boxes of, or check the yeah. boxes like Kathy Williams.
Amen, sis. I rest my case. Oh, and she came up with her own program, too. Remember, Karima?
Absolutely.
So, you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Absolutely.
They're dangerous. I mean, they're really dangerous to a system, because they can't force them to show their effectiveness. You can't. There's no way to measure it. So,
all right,
they're
guys.
Really dangerous.
All right, guys. Yeah,
Mario, thank you for the great conversation.
Thank you, guys. You guys can call in at 516-387-1251 if you guys want to participate. I'm talking with Marlene Dow and Mario Coleman. We want to thank you guys. I promised you guys just a few minutes on the air, but there are a bunch of other parts to this thing, and we're going to be talking about this throughout the rest of the week. We got the Aeronautics, Space Administration, a whole bunch of money from that. And the one that's the one that makes more sense to me is the public corporation public broadcasting. I don't understand why that's going away, but that's just what it is. And there's quite a bit of other. There's libraries, museums, under 20,000 libraries, 35,000 museums. All those services are going away. If it's all left up to this administration. Guys, we have a lot of stuff that these independent agencies and commissions that they have. I can understand some of these things.
That goes back to the people that are over those programs, because we have several libraries here, and they just funnel just enough money in there to be able to keep it afloat. When they have enough money to really be able to upgrade and do what they need to these programs. So it's really the people that are managing it above them that are misappropriating those funds.
And
if they were doing
that,
what
Mario,
they were supposed to do, go ahead.
They get to hand pick their own board. You see what I'm saying?
See?
Those directors will go out and recruit board members that are going to do exactly what they're told. And if you don't, you're gone. Bye-bye. And that just even makes the system that more corrupt, because if you stand up against that director and argue about misappropriation of funds, well, you ain't going to be there very long, Mario. You know that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mario and myself have both experienced things that you have brought to the forefront, things that you have said, projects that we have attempted to do. I now understand more so than ever why some of this shit needs to go away, because it has crippled our NCWCC building training program. It crippled it by being having to deal with bureaucrats.
It's nothing more frustrating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's nothing more frustrating than having a program that you see working and to have an individual above you who has the who's actually been placed in this position to help the community, not really care and let it fall to the wayside because their bottom line is how much money they can hold on to. It's frustrating.
Amen. It's cronyism at its best.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like, okay, for instance, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, they're getting $485 million. Do you know what the Corporation of Public Broadcasting was originally about? It was originally placed as a kind of a board to make sure you didn't cuss on air and you didn't say and do inappropriate things on air before, I think, 8 o'clock at night, family-type environment, that kind of thing. Now, why do you need $485 million to police airways for that kind of thing? And now with so many private cable channel systems in place, I mean, how is it that you can honestly expect NPR to compete with BET television? You can't. I mean, that's insane. So people are going to watch and see and do what they want to do. And I find it funny that, you know, a lot of our poor people in our society, they all got cell phones, they all got cable, you know, they all got all these things I can't afford. I work all the time. You know, and so I just don't see the need to have a policing program that doesn't work anymore and then funnel money, like Mario's talking about, into something that you can't be measured of success or value. It's just another way of cronyism. That Delta Regional Authority, that $45 million, an economic development agency for the 8-state Mississippi Delta region, that is Arkansas,
ooh,
Mississippi, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Missouri, not Oklahoma, Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. I think it goes up into North Carolina, South Carolina, not into North Carolina, and parts of Florida. Those are your 8 states. Now tell me, what on earth does that need its own economic development crony board for? I'll tell you why. You want to know why? They're going to make sure them blasted utility boogers are doing what they're told. That's what they're doing. And the utility boogers work for us, not them. Your guy running your phone company is doing it with your money. They are not a for-profit business. They are a public entity allowed to function as a for-profit business. And the worst ones are Duke Power, Southwestern Power and Energy, Georgia Power and Light. Do I need to keep going? Y'all need any more names?
No. I'm trying to keep my legs going.
But you understand what I'm talking about.
Now that it's been explained, you know, Mario and I, and our family, we've experienced these cronies at the highest level.
Oh, it's horrible.
And if like I said, if President Trump is, you know, like Mario said, if he wasn't talking like, what's the word you said?
A used car salesman.
A used car salesman. You'd be like, what the hell? Okay, really? So it goes back
to what I said. He's got to play to his base, you know,
right.
And his base is old white guys. So we've got to change
but
that.
I
and we've changed
I,
that
I
by
understand.
Not quitting. You know, I don't like
it,
but
I
it
really
is.
Do.
It is what it is. Yeah. And that's changing.
It's not fast enough. My family and I, we work. It's not going to affect me. I mean, I ain't trying to be funny, but it ain't.
Well, you're going to have people that are going to tell you it is. You're going to have people that are going to tell you that their church is getting money from this kind of thing because they oversee maybe housing for the elderly or something like that. That's probably true, but here's the truth. When the church got that money to build that elderly housing facility,
And they didn't put no air conditioning units in the water. in Atlanta.
Well,
they didn't put no SUVs in the ones in Atlanta.
But they built it, and they were supposed to build it where it would turn its own money. In other words, the government put up the money to build the building, but it was supposed to be put in a system in a place where that it would not be losing money later. This was not meant for government to continue to keep subsidizing this housing. And the church has taken advantage of it, like you said, Mario, not putting in air conditioning or whatever. I mean, they've done.
Mm-hmm.
They find 9 ways to cheat somebody out of something, and then they
try to tell me.
Yeah.
We did a program at a church, and that went south, and it was successful.
But again, it went back to who was managing it, right? Right,
mm-hmm.
Mario?
Yeah.
A community development arm of DeKalb County was managing the church program, and blah blah blah. I ain't gonna say. But look, y'all. We gonna get out of here. I'm gonna play some music. Mario, next level, Marlene Dow, we appreciate it. You're really giving me a better understanding, and I'm gonna sleep a lot better every night.
Thank you, Marlene.
Thank you, Mario.
Marlene,
very much.
Mario, y'all, don't forget y'all to tune in on Tuesday. We're gonna have a heated argument about something. Y'all make sure y'all tune in to Mario and Marlene. On Tuesday.
I love you, Mario. I love you. Thank you, Mario.
Love you too.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Good night, Marlene.
Into the purple vanilla haze of the erotic vortex. I'll penetrate your cerebral cortex, causing millions of endorphins to fire, shooting through us like meteorites as our body shiver and quiver from pre-orgasmic delight. Feel the rush of being whisked away as we engage in subliminal foreplay. Close your eyes. Of your femininity, all your secrets I'll breach, sending you far beyond satisfaction's reach to a place few have gone and many may never know. A private invitation to the next level. That's where the most erotic dwell, where love and passion parallel, and we're all under multi-orgasmic spell. Few rules or regulations apply, so whenever you're ready to go, just close your eyes. Black gold with the diamonds on.
listening to WAMRDB on 1420 and 1430 AM. We are a multicultural station bringing you national exposure on WAMRDB and WATB 1420 Atlanta. Me, I'm the Next Level, and I'll be hosting a show on Tuesday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So tune in and get educated, elevated, and stimulated.
Can you turn me up? Turn me up. Like Aaliyah, a little more. A little more. Up a notch. Up a little more.
You're listening to WAMRDB tonight. Call in at 516-387-1251. Next Level was the last song that you heard. This is Dana Love, y'all.
Somebody's calling out. Trust me, babe. Tonight's gonna be the best, 'cause you ain't had sex like this. All I need.
Thank you.
guys. Welcome back to WAMR-DV, broadcasting live out of Stone Mountain, Georgia. Call in number 516-387-1251. Want to remind you guys to tune in on Tuesday at 8 to 10 p.m. You can call in at that number at 404-292-1420. We also want to keep in mind now you've heard a lot of these programs in the last episode talking about what's being cut on the table. We had Marlene Dow. She is an expert in the field of government affairs, as well as a lobbyist and have worked in government since she was 22. And we also had the Next Level on. Want to thank you, brother, for being with us on the show as well. Again, I want to also tell a few people that happy birthday, Alicia Poole. She's got a birthday that's coming up. Her birthday will be on the 23rd. She's going to be celebrating here in Atlanta with LIA and that group. They're going to be talking, partying a little bit. So wish her a happy birthday. I want to say shout out to Lewis Colbert, Street Leakers, Jasmine Watkins, Alicia Poole, her pre-birthday celebration. Kim J. King, making 27 my best year yet. Very, very strong attorney out of D.C. Want to thank people for tuning in to Atlanta Mix Radio. It's been a blessing to be able to be on and to be able to spring into action on WGFS 1430, starting the morning show. So we'll be talking about that coming up through the week. And it's a little Espinosa we're playing right now. Esperanza. Amen.
Poetic love. Poetic love. She asked me, how does poetry make you feel? I said, poetry is like a good lover, the kind that makes love to you from your head down to your feet, the kind that makes you think of them when they are nowhere to be found. Poetry is the kind of love that lifts you up when you're down. The kind of love that makes you smile and brings you peace. The kind we women talk about in our secret hiding places. The kind you record in your mind for years and years after it's gone. I guess it's like giving birth to an angel and always feeling it close to your heart. Even when you have to part ways, you still feel it running through you. That's what poetry is for me. Poetic love.
Tonight, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show. Again, you can go to the link on our website on the Blog Talk Show format. Hit the link on the page that you see on Facebook, and the list of the 62 agencies will be there. Something to think about.
Welcome to Loving Care Family Chiropractic, a state-of-the-art chiropractic family facility for the entire family, owned and operated by Dr. Ebony Hornbuckle Preston. Allow her to love your spine so you can get back to enjoying your life. Through the touch of her hands, your pain will flee, giving you the freedom to enjoy your best life. Her concern is not just your spinal health, but your total health. She will show you natural and holistic remedies that can alleviate many injuries and various types of pain. Work with her and you'll feel stronger and healthier after every visit as you begin to enjoy the new you. Make your appointment today. They're located at 5336 East Mountain Street, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 30083, or call at 678-884-3778. We're also available on the web at www.lovingcarechiropractic.com. We are Loving Care Family Chiropractic. Let us love your spine.
Yes.